When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to the podcast, this week's podcast on a really chilled topic that I'm really chilled out about talking about.
Seems very hot. We're all feeling very worried.
We did a feminism episode when we used to be the Debrief podcast, and basically me and Tessa were just boiling hot and stammering and crying during the whole thing. So now we've decided to do how to deal with toxic masculinity, because I think it's a very important topic. And so we've got a man in. The man is Phil Wang, one of our good friends and top comedian. You may have seen on just everything.
Taskmaster recently.
Taskmaster, yeah. Alive the Apollo. Anything else? You did anything else?
Phil?
I did a Chinese gig the other night in Covent Garden with only British Chinese comedians.
Well, you were obviously all there and, listening, so that was great.
And a surprisingly Chinese audience, so you might know me from there.
Yeah.
If you are at that gig. If you are at that gig, you've known me most recently from there.
Yeah, great. That's excellent.
I'm also a certified man. As you've touched on.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
he's bringing...
An expert in toxic masculinity. We've sprung the topic on him about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'll be really interesting to see what comes out.
He's on the spot. We're going to quiz him. He has to speak for the whole of his gender.
And also feel free to message him directly if you disagree with anything and be as aggressive as possible.
My Twitter handle is @gokwan. So any problems you have.
Remember when everyone got so upset when you were mean about, what's his face?
Eddie Tom Hiddleston.
Tom Hiddleston, yeah.
Phil
got trolled so badly because you just said quite a casual thing about Tom Hiddleston.
I actually regret not going harder on Tom Hiddleston. I was on room 101 and I wanted to put Tom Hiddleston into room 101. He didn't get put in to room 101. and Hiddles fans are still, were still angry. But, they're mad. They're not.
No.
There was no one who sent me anything negative about whom I thought, oh no, I've lost their support. I've gone, yeah, obviously, they're nuts. Their profile picture is low-key. And so I'm not going to take that to heart, you know?
You shouldn't. Before we delve into it, what's the most adult thing you've done this week, Tessa? I'll be asking you next.
Can I deflect? Can you start?
To me? I can start. I've got a whole list here.
Oh, buddy. All right, mate.
Okay. Oh, have I done this one? Have I spoken to you about notebooks and my very complicated relationship with them?
I don't believe so.
Right. So since I was little, I love writing in notebooks. Great. Every Christmas, my parents will get me like a beautiful notebook or I'll see one in like Paper Chase and be like, that, it looks like an old spell book.
Mm.
And all the pages are off white and yes, please.
But
I'll get
it. Do you fall for that sort of the affected...
No,
like
not always.
Affected old.
The one
okay,
I have
so like crisp and new and...
The one I've got currently is quite like a modern art type. Just basically an attractive
look, my
notebook.
Look at this.
Okay. This sort of thing.
I mean, like look
leather,
at that for like
binding.
Affected.
Tessa's MacBook affected, holder yeah. is like, looks like a big old book. Tessa's a sucker for things that are other things. A carrot that looks like a pen. No, a pen that looks like a carrot. Sorry.
Yeah. Not a carrot that looked like a pen.
I'd have that
Would
as
you
well.
Cook it? Would you have it? Would you eat it?
Never.
But it would rot eventually.
I know, and I'd be sad, but I would keep him till the end of his days. I put some little googly eyes.
But no, so back to the thing, notebooks.
Like pens have.
As I said, I thought, I hope we can wash over that part.
Notebooks. The only downside is that they're really beautiful, and I don't
Can't
think anything
them.
I have to say
yes, yes.
could ever be of worth to put in it. Then I've bought shit ones and used the shit ones to write down all my notes of just like, you know, things to do lists or whatever. One day I was just like, oh my God, I'm just going to use that, the nicest one, and just use it as a notebook for all my things. Did it. Quite stressed about it. I've now got into it, and now regularly I'm now working through all my beautiful notebooks that have just got like everyday notes in them, anything. Ugh. Because I think that like I should bring joy and happiness and beauty to my mundane things.
That is
so
wonderful.
Now I'm no longer stressed about using beautiful notebooks. I don't feel like I have to write a full novel first go, or like a
on
spell
the first
book
page.
On the first page.
It's so tough. My mum didn't buy for me, but once saw in like a Christmas market a notebook made with reindeer skin.
That's horrific.
Well, some of them are made with leather.
I wouldn't buy that.
Why? They're not endangered.
They're fine.
The
no,
cows.
Wait for this.
The cows?
It's 100 years old.
It'd she, be... said, she said leather.
Reindeer skin?
No,
yeah.
Then she said leather.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Listen!
But leather is... You can have reindeer leather. Leather is just
you
like
can
a dried skin.
You have human leather.
Well, I don't want to have a book made of reindeer skin.
But listen, it was dredged up from a shipwreck.
Oh, okay.
From like 200 years ago.
The reindeer.
Yes.
Yeah, no, like they were like reindeer carcasses, like reindeer leather was on the, as oh in the skins God. Were on the this old shipwreck. They dredged it up and they've made notebooks out of like 200 year old reindeer skin and then like bound with these like beautiful pages.
Those must have been expensive.
They were expensive. She didn't buy it.
Right.
But I think about it quite often because I was like, never will I have a thought good enough to
will.
Go into the reindeer.
You will.
The reindeer skin.
Because that's the joy of it. You just be like, doesn't matter.
Any old thought
this
will
notebook
do.
Is not a sentient being judging my work.
Yeah.
Also, like, how nice to, whenever I go in my bag, to be like, oh God, I've got to remember that thing. I've got to remember to buy a pepper. How nice to be like, oh, nice book. Pepper.
Yeah.
Rather than like, ah, my piece of shit book. And what will I ever write in that notebook? Now I've forgotten about the pepper. Like, that's the issue.
The notebook is not your final product. The notebook is the excretion. The notebook is the toilet for your brain. It's where you shit out all the
vessel.
Yeah. No, yeah. Not vessel. The toilet is where it's where you shit out all the stuff
okay.
that you need to get out of your head to get to the good stuff.
Right.
Right. At least that's how I see it.
Yes.
Right?
You know, but the giant toilet, I think, is a very common thing that people think.
But huh?
That your notebook is a toilet. I think most
mine specifically is an absolute toilet. But that's such a great practice. I need to do that sort of thing. I do it on my phone, but there's something.
It's not as nice.
It's not as nice, and you don't. There's a committal,
commitment
there's
to
a
the commitment pen and paper.
Also, looking back, I've now since I've sort of started doing it, I've looked back at old notebooks, and it's so cool just to see like where I was in my life. Where at the time you don't think that you're keeping a diary of anything, mm-hmm. you're just writing down that you want a pepper. But then you can see where you were in your life and the sort of stuff you were buying, the sort
peppers.
Of friends you had, peppers. You know, that was 2011 was the year of the pepper for me. But I'll see names that I'm like, oh, I don't see those people anymore. But like I was hanging out with them loads that year. Or like it's just it's really really nice. Phil, what's the most adult thing you've done this week, not in your life?
This week I went to the doctor because I have a back problems. That's probably the most adult thing.
That's really good.
That's so adult.
Yeah, I have my back. Well, actually, no, it's not adult because I injured my back about 5 years ago. And like it hasn't been fine since then.
Oh, God.
But now recently it started getting quite bad again. Mm. So I've started going to an osteopath.
That's the chair, by the way.
That's my back going.
He's down. Phil is down, wrong. Everyone.
Just lower the microphone, yeah? I started going to osteopath who like cracks my back and puts like needles in me. It's great.
Wow.
And I started doing
good?
Pilates. Yeah,
oh,
it does
Pilates.
Feel good. There's this one thing my osteopath does where she'll like ready me, like put her fingers either side of the vertebrae on the upper part of my back, and she'll tell me to take a deep breath in and deep breath out. And once all my breath is gone, she just goes, and she just cracks the vertebrae on the top of my back. It's great.
It's a very intense noise, isn't it?
Yeah, it's deep. It's deep,
deep
in you. It feels like your chest is cracking.
Yeah.
I've never had it.
You never had
it? No.
It's really intense. I scream sometimes.
But
there's no pain whatsoever, but the sound that comes from within of a crack, your immediate reaction is like, well, I'm dead.
It's very dramatic.
It's so intense. And then you're like, am I okay? And you're really like checking in, being like, everyone's still attached? Like, it's quite quite an intense process.
You don't really expect to be able to walk after it.
No.
You feel like, I guess I'm paralyzed, but it did feel good.
Yeah, but it felt nice at the time, yeah.
It's worth it for that one moment. What's yours, Tessa?
Mine is, it's quite weak. I found a bunch of old pound coins in the house while tidying that I had obviously not taken to the bank. They were living in my side pocket of my backpack. And then I was trying to take too many things through Paddington Station, and I was attempting to do it like in like 10 feet bursts.
Of course.
Leaving them back, you know. People would say like, can I help? But in this way it was like, please don't make me help. Like, this is this girl. And I would be like, honestly, please no. And they were like, thank you. And then they'd like leave me there. And I was like, this is absolutely absurd. Found the trolley things and was like, I'm not paying a pound for the trolley. And then I was like, for God's sake, girl, pay the pound. And then they only took, the guy was like, oh, they're no use because they only take the old pound coins. And I was
Hello.
Like, whoa, here I come.
That's great.
And I took the pound and I, that you know.
So you get the pound back.
But I then was on the train. I literally had to take it to the door.
I see. So
then I was like,
the
now
back.
There's nothing I can do. Wow. And then a kid looked absolutely thrilled. So I was like, Livy. Oh.
Not east to a third person. Not
Gosh,
east to a third
that's
person.
That's so far away from me. And I just gesticulated while shouting, live your life to the child. Live your life. You put the trolley. You get that pound back.
Oh, great.
Imagine how thrilled you were when you were a kid and you found
you
a trolley. And
an
then
old
you...
pound that you can't use.
Yeah,
again.
But you,
all of
the
that.
Thought of getting a trolley, like, oh my God, if I get this trolley back, I can get the pound.
Get the pound, big time.
So I gave that pleasure to someone else.
I love that you're still so thrifty and still like, well, I'm not putting a pound in.
I know, it's so stupid because I'd come to the Paddington in an Uber. Because I couldn't
Great.
Get anywhere. And then I was trying to get across the concourse. And I honestly was like, I'm not paying a pound for that trolley.
It is annoying though, isn't it?
Yeah, but yeah, and you sometimes just be like, come on.
Right.
So, this episode, I have wanted to do since International Women's Day, which is in March. And so many people on Twitter and everything say, you know, when is International Men's Day?
That's the impression of a man. Very good.
A lot of people going, when's International Men's Day? To which some people said very flippantly, like, oh, every day it's International Men's Day. And yeah. Then somebody said the truth, which is that it is on the 19th of November.
Yeah.
And what I really wanted to do was talk about those things and how we're not any good at celebrating International Men's Day. People don't even know when it is.
Yeah, well, around International Women's Day, there's lots of like different, it's a great excuse for people to write like really in-depth, interesting articles about loads of different types of like what it means to be a woman, the current struggle that we still have, mm-hmm. all this stuff. And on International Men's Day, you just get like one man being like, is it today?
Yeah.
And that's it.
The Google, and also the Google hits for the phrase International Men's Day on International Women's Day are huge and nothing on the actual day.
Yes.
And so you're like,
ridiculous.
If there was a proper big space of celebrating and writing these articles and talking and stuff, it wouldn't have the same.
It wouldn't even be a question. It'd just be like, cool, we'll do that on International Men's Day.
Yeah.
Rather than when is it and does it exist and all of these things.
Exactly.
Yes. And also I think there's a huge problem just in general of talking about male issues and talking about stuff in general to do with that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've done episodes about feminism. We talk a lot about what it means to be a woman and all that business, but we haven't talked about the male side of things. And
no.
We haven't really ever done anything on International Men's Day.
No. And I think something that Stevie said earlier and we want to be able to talk about is how the phrase like men are trash comes up so often and is such a sort of
people
end
use it now as breathing. So
yeah.
I was in this WhatsApp group full of like very strong independent feminist women. They're really all excellent people, but there's this like through line, which is just whenever they'll say like a story about a bad experience they've had with a man, whether that's an ex-boyfriend, whether that's catcalling, and it's very much like a support WhatsApp group.
Mm-hmm.
Someone will just go like, well, men are trash, and it's like it's
men
such
are
a thing.
Trash.
Someone will always say that, and I just think it's, and I completely get, you know, obviously a lot of men are trash, a lot of women are trash, a lot of people are trash.
Yeah,
we have to keep this perspective that like, yes, we're maybe different, but we're all humans, and often it's a human issue.
Yeah.
Are you a nice person or a not nice person?
Yeah.
Than like just expecting men to be trash all the time.
And also, like, it's so easy, of course, if you're on the fence over here, not a man, being able to shout, men are trash, and nobody on the men side wants to be like, yes. Yes, we are. You know, that's your life. You only get one shot at it, and you roll the dice, and you got man. And so
yeah.
You don't want to be like, yes, you're absolutely right. I'll just plop off this cliff then. Like,
we haven't got the organisational skills to all be trash together. we some of us, yeah. But I think that it's an expression. You know, it's just like,
of course it is. Yeah.
It's like Sailor V, basically, Men Are Trash, right?
but language is so important. So if it becomes like Sailor V, then what are we saying?
Yeah, exactly. Like, we can't let it become just that. We can't let it become that.
Ah, Men Are Trash, morning.
Yes, yes, copy.
I always found it mostly humorous.
Yes, it is. No, it
oh,
is.
It because is. It definitely is.
Yeah, it is. And some people do say it. A lot of, I think online women say it as this sort of last resort of exasperation.
Of course.
And that I also understand. But sometimes it is a person's actual manifesto, and then I'm like, okay, I'm not really going to listen to you because this is very reductive.
Yes, and I think as well, like, you know, with the whole, like, well, I'm talking about Trump now, so there we go. He has those certain words and those certain phrases that he repeats and repeats and repeats. There was that rally in Mississippi recently, and they're all still chanting "lock her up," like, by Hillary Clinton. That is a long time ago, and there's
it's not
no
even
evidence.
Clear who, which her we're now talking
no,
about.
No, was like, it Dr. Just, Ford? Was it, like,
just lock any woman up? We'll take
lock
anyone.
Them up. And, like, full families with teenage daughters all chanting "lock her up," and it's this thing where like, yes, it can be funny, or it's a phrase and it's nothing and it doesn't mean, but then it becomes a thing, and that Trump's whole thing is like, just repeat phrases and then it will become fact. For people, doesn't matter that it's objective fact, it's literally just those that family chanting that believe it's fact, so it doesn't matter. And I think that's why women are so careful about language when in relation to men, and like how men use language for women. Like, there was that thing going around, they're like, history, that's his story. That's actually not true, but like, that's not the source of that word, but is but that was like a little thing that went on.
Imagine
to, on,
if that
on
was
to
the genuine it. Etymology of the word story.
Imagine history, yeah. But some people were like, I can't believe it, no wonder there's inequality. And you're like, right, well, if we're going that deep in with words like history, saying men are trash a lot, probably you need to practice what you preach the other way.
Yes.
The feminist movement and equality is very important, but we can't get there if we just shit on everyone else, because that's what's happened to us. So we have to learn how to talk about this stuff, and we have to have compassion, and we have to, like, I don't know, just be kind, I think.
Also, every successful revolution against an oppressive power has always employed redemption. And the phrase "men are trash" does not leave room for redemption.
Yes,
right. Perpetuates the battle, and it continues the idea that there is a battle of the sexes, and that
of
there
course.
Should that there has been a loser, but the rightful loser is actually men. And so now we need to turn it around, and then everything be solved.
Yeah,
but you have to reach some sort of equilibrium instead.
The redemption thing's very interesting.
When you say that they've always had a redemption, what do you mean by that idea of redemption?
So if you look at the most successful emancipations in the last century, they were the civil rights movement in America and the end of apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
And in both cases, the activists did not pursue a campaign of punishment, but a campaign of redemption. And as a result, both movements were successful and mostly peaceful afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Whereas that's not the case with things like communist revolutions or the French Revolution, where an enemy was painted and a moral divide was created. Then you allow the victors to harm their perceived oppressors without mercy, because that's right. That's the right thing to do.
Yeah, and you've whipped yourself into such a frenzy as to, like, they're the bad people and we're the good people. Then when you achieve what you wanted, then everyone just hates those people. So now you've just gone the other way, and it's not equal.
Like, yeah, exactly. Being equal, it's just like a vendetta.
Yeah,
and I think the vendetta is like it's there between men and women. It's in races. It's in, like, old and young. It's in, like, leave and remain. There's no space for redemption anywhere, because everyone's so furious. And even if you are on the side where you're like, oh shit, I think I am in the bad group, you're like, I got to just double down here because I can't admit. Yeah,
but it's such a complicated issue.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of people who don't know what to say, and they don't know, like, where's the line, and should I get involved, and what am I supposed to do? I think the general sort of rule of thumb is, like, the more men that, like, feel confident to, like, call each other out and just be like, hey man, not cool.
Not cool is our favourite phrase, because we
not
think
cool.
It's just someone going, that's not cool, and then immediately
there's no sort
it's the worst thing I can it's worse than fuck you, you're a disgrace.
Yeah.
That's like, okay, whatever. Not cool is like, I thought you were better than that. It's that I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed.
Yeah, that's what not cool is. They're not cool. It's awful and cuts to your very quick, but fuck you, Phil Wang, makes you go, fuck you, in response. But if I go, not cool, Phil, you're like, oh, it wasn't?
Yeah,
oh,
really
why? No.
I like, was thinking about like, why.
Oh, no.
Do you know the worst ever not cool moment I ever had? And it's fucking awful, man. It is terrible. And I'm reminded of it all the time. And it happened in 2013, 14.
Oh, God.
And it's relevant to the conversation.
Oh, no.
And I want to preface it with the... I want to preface it by saying I have grown since then.
Of course. I'm terrified.
I ran a gig in Camden with a friend, Johnny. It's no longer running. And I would take in the money for the tickets. It was very cheap. It was like £2 or £4 or something. And a couple came in, and there was a lady and a man. And the lady had like a big wad of cash. She was holding a big wad of cash, and she pulled out a 10 or a 20, and she handed it to me, and I took it. And I got the change, I wrote on the hands, and I just handed the change to the man.
Right, yeah.
And she saw me do that, and she said, not cool.
That is powerful.
And I felt like... I cannot overemphasize how big this wad of cash she had was. She looked like the richest woman I'd ever
Difficult
seen in the world.
To miss the wad of cash.
She could not have held more money. And I still instinctively handed the cash to the man.
Yeah.
And then I apologized on stage when I got up. Not to her directly, because I didn't want, she might not have wanted that. But I just, you know, I had to exercise that demon straight away.
Yeah.
But that not cool stays with me.
Yeah.
All the time. And it's very valuable. I think you need
to. Do you think you can use it within... What would happen if you, Phil Wang, you're with some mates. Think about friends you have, if you do have them or you don't, who are towards the laddie end of the spectrum. Like, I have friends who are like that I'm like, sometimes they will say something that is not cool. And I'm always... And now, I think I do go like, that's not cool. And then just continue talking about something else.
You'll say out loud, that's not cool, and then move on?
I've done it once.
Okay.
And then the other times I'm too frightened to say anything. Because often I'll be the only girl in that scenario. But I will feel like... I feel like suddenly, as a girl saying that, it's like, oh, here comes a feminist. Great, now you're turning off on evening into a fucking feminist rally. And that's not what I'm doing. But if as a guy, would not cool work if you were in a group of things and some guy, I don't know, shouted something gross at a girl or said something like slightly off?
Yeah.
Would not cool work... Is that, or would you still feel a bit like, oh, I don't want to say anything?
I think in those cases, not cool is like not even enough. It seems a bit passive to me. But
would you be able to be quite aggressive in a group of guys?
Of course, I'd like to think I would be, but in practice, I don't know. I mean, if there wasn't if there weren't any women around and they said something, especially if you're comedians, there's always. So some tacit assumption that it's meant in good faith or is meant ironically or is meant as a joke.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think we can usually tell when it isn't.
Yeah.
And I sort of believe in if you don't hear us say something, you're not hurt by it.
Yeah.
And so if there's not a woman there to be hurt by it, maybe not.
Yeah.
If it's not an ongoing problem with a specific man, then it might not bear ruining the evening for.
Of course, yeah. And you can't constantly be like a social justice warrior in every single conversation that you have.
Yeah, because that is tiresome and not actually the most morally valuable thing to do, I think, all the time.
Yeah.
I come to...
Well, like, okay, I'm just going to change it slightly.
I think I'm quite lucky also in that our social circle is relatively progressive, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think as comedians, one would hope that they are.
Yeah, our age group, our profession.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Our socio-political circle. It's all, it's all relative.
I'm being a terrible social justice warrior with some of my family, my, extended family. And, at Easter, everybody just teases me about... I mean, I'm, double down on it because I've carved out a niche for myself to, call out all the, wild racism and sexism at the table. And, but I'm aware that I'm not... While I'm just, slamming the table constantly, shouting things, it's also taken, in jest and... but I'm aware that I'm achieving nothing. Like, uh-huh, I am not doing any good here.
You're playing like a cartoon part.
I'm playing a cartoon hit part here and shouting, like, toxic masculinity damages us all! Like, while banging the table achieves nothing.
Yeah.
At worst, it can prove their point
Yes. Like, I'm really annoying. And, like, I'm really annoying. And, like, the other day to my dad, who I'd like to say has raised daughters and is a fantastic man, but also does sometimes say some really questionable stuff.
That's mine.
Like, I think it's like, that's just that's their generational thing, and certainly not as questionable as some people, but anyway, it's there. And I have now taken to just, I invented this character that's like, oh yeah, you know what, Tom, you're absolutely fucking right. Like, you know what, you work all day, you come home and the women in your life are blah blah blah. And I thought he would hear that and be like, oh yeah, shit, that is how it sounds. Like, I sound like this real like white van guy. Oh, and I thought he'd be like, oh, thank you for showing me. And he went like this, his eyes lit up, and he was like, where have you been all my life?
When did Tessa get cool?
And he literally said, do you want to go to the pub? And
I
achieved the opposite. He was like, oh, he was thrilled to have this, you know, like, we were talking about like women moving a table in a restaurant, that like, if you sat down with two women and you said like, oh, can we move? You'd sit and you just wouldn't even think about it. You'd carry on the conversation. And if you were with a man, they'd be like, why are we moving? And it would be like a big scene about like moving tables in a restaurant. Such a tiny thing that like became this big debate. And I said like, well, Tom, you know, if a man moved, there'd be a good reason for it. To which my dad said, you're absolutely right.
Propagating toxic masculinity.
This has achieved nothing.
I wanted to ask Phil, what's your experience of toxic masculinity?
And if it helps.
It's a big, stupid, over-the-top question. But it just, in terms of like, I know how I feel about it as a woman, but what do you feel about it as a man?
May I just put the definition in here
for
you at the beginning to say, like, and you know, let's like get Urban Dictionary up. Toxic masculinity is basically being this sort of prototype of a man, and it's being these very sort of classic exaggerated masculine traits that you, it's particularly being sort of unemotional, that you aren't allowed to, no tears, you know, you're the breadwinner, you're this powerful man, you're not vulnerable, you're never weak, you don't cry. And also it has elements of like of violence and also an element of sexual sort of aggression in there, that like you should be a man who can get the girl, and that's sort of the idea of toxic masculinity. And so yeah. I think it's got the word toxic in there because it's so incredibly unhelpful, and
it's also, it's pervasive and it's innocuous. So people, I've seen elements of toxic masculinity in guys that I absolutely adore, and then when you go like, you obviously, I would never be like, excuse me, that's actually quite toxic. Like, I don't say it like,
no.
But in your head, you go, ah, yes, it's that level of someone who's a full feminist and like really, it's something that is drilled into boys when they are too young.
Yeah.
And it's
exactly
constant.
It's a concept like, this is what a real man is. And anything that deviates from this real man is, you know, is feminine or wussy or girly or
and
not allowed.
Negative.
And that's a negative. And therefore, it means that any thought that you have that is a bit effeminate, you're like, oh, I got to crush that. I mustn't show any tears. And also it's this very, if you look at like, for example, like sort of Indiana Jones or something, if you look at any sort of Harrison Ford's movies, there's a lot of sort of literature on the internet about it. That like, there's a lot of him just like getting the girl when she says, no, thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, every one of your favorite 80s movies has a rape in it. That, and then they become their girlfriend.
Yeah.
Every single one I've seen. I watched Blade Runner.
Yeah.
He rapes the android. Next scene there, his girlfriend.
Yeah.
In Rocky, he rapes Adrian. And then Adrian's his girlfriend after that. It happens in every single one.
I need to rewatch Blade Runner.
Bond
that's
holds down
heart.
A lot of ladies who are like, no, James, no, James. I'm literally saying no. No, thank you, James.
If you didn't hear that, that was a no,
no.
James.
But it's this breathy, it gives this idea of like, they do like
they
it.
Really want
they
it.
Do
yeah.
want
they like
it. They
the
have
idea.
To say it. They have to say no to be a prim, proper lady, but they do like it.
So to me, toxic masculinity is just an imbalance of your priority, right? Because as all of us, as humans, you have to find in your life a balance between strength and compassion. Yeah, right? That's you have to find a balance
so,
between strength
but like,
and
a
compassion.
A lot of guys don't feel like
exactly,
that.
Because historically, men have been charged with strength and women have been charged with compassion.
Right.
But as our societies have modernized and become more egalitarian and less based on pure survival instincts, men don't need to be that brutal anymore.
Yeah.
And women don't have to be that passive to men anymore. And so we're sort of trying to meet each other in the middle now. And sometimes women are too compassionate, and so they're told to lean in.
Yeah.
And then sometimes men are too, for lack of a better word, strong, and are told they're being toxic.
Yeah.
And so it's just, and the regularity at which men fail at this determines how toxic that individual is. So I guess I'm relatively not that toxic, but I'm guilty of occasional toxicity. Mm. And
how do you feel when you, obviously the not cool thing was
the not cool thing was terrifying. Pretty toxic.
But yeah, how do you feel about it? And like, how do you feel about knowing that you may have some toxicity? Like, how would you like people to, how do you think it can get better?
Awareness is always good, you know.
Yeah.
When you do it and you're aware you've done it, you've done something uncompassionate or selfish or violent even, well, take note and apologize and try and make up for it, I guess. But there's some people for whom they seem to be lost causes. I mean, they're a lot, especially a lot of the guys I went to school with, you know, I can't imagine coming back from that. It got really bad in my school. I went to a school in Bath, and there was a real bad atmosphere there of boys will be boys.
It was like that's such a thing. Yeah.
And it was a private school as well, which I think can exacerbate that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because there's like a sense of tradition and old-fashionedness that can add to that. And it got really bad. Like there was a guy and a girl got in trouble for having sex in the chapel.
Okay.
And the chapel had to be reconsecrated. But that's fine. That's just funny. But the girl got excluded. What's the other word?
Expelled?
Expelled.
She's never allowed to come back?
Yeah. And the guy got suspended.
And so is allowed to come back?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
how come?
Lordy.
And when that was questioned, what was the answer?
No one questioned it, I guess.
If they did, it was brushed under the carpet. The culture was so bad that my head of sixth form, shortly after I left, went to jail for having sex with one of the 15-year-old girls.
Good God! There's a lot of things that's not surprising.
You hear
so many of these, like,
every school
all boy boarding schools. Like, I used to go out with somebody, there was all, and the stories he would tell me, I just couldn't cope with how bad it was. Like,
yeah.
If you were shorter than a specific height, you just got called gay.
Yeah.
Like, what? And, like, obviously, like, as you know, as old as we are now, we can be like, that's ridiculous and sort of hilarious because it's so stupid.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're a little kid and you're like, what, 12, 13, 14, that just, it's drilling this thing in you. And I mean, you can see it in the adult male that I used to go out with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was very clear where he was from because his thoughts about women and men and just how his relationships with other men and this, like, alphaing thing, which I've seen now. Recently something happened I was on holiday and my boyfriend got called a gay boy in a bar because he was like, he just was wearing like nice clothes, I guess. Phil finds it hilarious. Phil finds toxic masculinity hilarious, but I found it funny. And then he was like, that he wasn't being like flippant, he was like trying to start on me, Stevie. Like, that's what he's doing. He's seen I'm with a girl. He's, look at everyone else in here. Like, I don't look like everyone. That's what guys do. And I didn't get it. Just like sometimes he may not get when I'm like, I'm crying so hard because a man looked at me or something.
Yeah.
And I realised that I don't understand it. And I don't understand the kind of like hidden laws that men will often have with each other in a group of men, and not literally not all men, but like there is something that permeated that as women we don't get, and I kind of want to understand it more. And I think it does come from that, like, boys will be boys thing.
Yeah, it's also competition. And
yeah.
I mean, to be honest, I'm not very attuned to it either.
Yeah,
because I've always tried to appeal to the, it was never an option for me to be that kind of man, you know.
Yeah.
I think you have to be quite, you know, into sport and into things that are literally combative.
Yeah, to show how you are the strongest.
Yeah,
and you are
whereas I've always been more into comedy and art. And so, which celebrate,
well.
But those celebrate different values. And those build within you a different set of value constructions. So you don't feel the need to prove yourself by being aggressive. Whereas
yes.
They were brought up in a an environment where that was how you did prove your value, was by being aggressive and winning. But I find, and this is from like doing stand-up and, you know, stag groups. Stag groups always come in the same hierarchy. There's the stag who is sort of the head, but the real power behind the throne is like the enforcer character. He's a quieter one. And then there's the clown, who's usually the fat one everyone makes fun of, and he's embraced that, at least on the surface.
Yeah.
Just. And then like a really dumb one, and then you're miscellaneous.
See, that's absolutely fascinating, because that is so true. Now I'm thinking about at school, there was this like group of guys who were just horrible bullies, but there was only one that was the bully, and then everyone else fitted into those categories. Yeah. The guy that clearly wasn't attractive enough, and I'm using that massive quotation marks, to be all good at sport, but he was funny. So he kind of got a free pass because he could make everyone laugh. And then, the miscellaneous is hilarious because there are so many of them.
They
sort of stand around and they're like a cage and say like, yeah, right. And I think that goes through to now. Like, people don't change just because they're out of school. Like, that. I think that is now... groups of male friends will have similar structures, and I think I'm just trying to like find a way that you can bring it up or you can talk about it, how, if there's any difference that can be made. I guess just like understanding it, like you say, accepting it, knowing that it's there, and being aware, also as women, being aware that it's not a nice thing to hear. If like as a guy, it's not a nice thing to hear, like, well, it's because you're being toxic, or like it's like
yeah. I don't think it's a phrase that we should use. And I think your redemption thing is so spot on that like fighting a fire with fire just makes the world burn. But like attempting to be like, hey, like, mm-hmm. I mean, hey, also, let's talk about what you've said there, or like finding another route in. And if it's like,
also toxic is very vague, and people so are much vague. More receptive to a specific.
And also, like,
a specific challenge.
I think something that you're seeing at the moment, I want to talk about, is like Brett Kavanaugh trial that happened in the autumn. That like this guy who wanted to be the supreme judge, and everybody sort of came out in this like, well, boys will be boys, and you know, let's not accuse him of the thing that he did when he was a teenage boy. And it's clear that like he knows he did this thing, and that he doesn't think it's a problem. Like, he doesn't think he did anything properly wrong. He's like, it was a bit of fun in a cupboard. Like, what's the issue here? And when you see people really coming down on this, like, hey, whoa, like, let's not start throwing things around, it's because everyone's like looking through their own back catalogue and being like, oh shit, are those not okay? Because I've got a binders full of things I did.
Well,
that
the Cristiano Ronaldo thing's really interesting.
What is that? I just saw a headline.
Well, he just did do it. Like, it was back in 2009 or whatever, and she said no. And then there's like a printed document of she said no and no and no, and after he said, I'm sorry, I'm usually a gentleman, and all of this. But he's now saying it didn't happen. And it's very confusing, because it's very like the footballer kind of thing is such a toxic environment. Like, no footballer will ever come out as gay. Like, I mean, everyone thought he was gay, so I was quite surprised that he's been doing that with women. It's kind of like a free pass. So footballers will be terrified, because there's been so many stories of...
And you would, if like you're that powerful and you're that famous and you've got that much money, you're like, you've got this sort of free pass. And then, and oh, it's like, lad, here we all are, definitely not gay. Yeah. We're all naked in the showers, but like, let's get some women in here to like make sure no one questions anything that we did. Like, you know, and it's such a intense environment that obviously loads of questionable stuff people have happened.
It always amuses me to think how much men have sex for other men.
Yeah.
That's so funny. Yeah,
a lot of time we have sex, not for us, it's for the others.
Just saying, you've had it. Yeah. Or at school, like guys now saying like, yeah, I mean, like, we did used to talk about our wanks a lot. And I was like, what? Yeah. Like, what? So then that would mean that they're wanking just to talk about it, to say that they have.
Yeah.
And then lots of guys that I know being like, I never did, but I just said I did. And then when anyone questioned me, like in the 40-year-old virgin, that film, which again, toxic masculinity, he's fine to be a virgin at 40. But when he goes like, and what did the boob feel like that you, and he's like, oh, it felt like a bag of sand.
Yeah.
He clearly hasn't felt a boob. And like that thing of like, you're not a man unless you're like plowing through the women, and like, you know, and I don't know, there's something so wrong about it, because there shouldn't be a definition of like one thing, just like there shouldn't be a definition for women, there shouldn't be a definition for men.
I think it's something that like has to begin with the next generation, and it's something of like teach in schools, and we have to get this sort of all the lies about what people did at parties, and everyone needs to like admit that like it and be like, you know what, I haven't touched a boob and I'm okay with that. And
can you imagine in school?
I remember
I haven't touched a boob and I'm okay with that.
Get that on a t-shirt. I remember at university an incredibly good looking boy saying he was a virgin in the coolest way possible, and I was like, Jesus Christ. He was just like, oh, I actually haven't had sex. And I remember being like, I've never ever
heard anyone say that.
With that, with not, they didn't go like, I mean, it wasn't like whispered to me in secret. It was said to many people, and like it was said with such confidence. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, but he must have at least known he was good looking. Then that's cool. If he wasn't good looking, that would have been the least cool thing you've ever heard.
You're right.
But you can be not good looking, and you can just, like, we've talked about it before on the podcast about like, there's something about people that just are who they are and just say stuff like that. And because they've said it, like, it's the person, like, that's like, not cool, guys. And you're like, wow. What gave him the authority or her the authority to think that she can say that? And I'm glad, and she can have that authority. Mm. To have that sort of self-confidence to be like, yeah, I'm a virgin. Or, like, is great. And it's such a thing that... But I think, like, you can't force school kids to do that because they just won't.
No, but I think you can quietly feed, like, confidence and just owning... And if you are... That thing, I think, so right, what we said about strength and compassion, that if you are on the compassionate side, just being, like, owning that and being like, this is the thing I'm good at, and this isn't... It doesn't have to... I'm not lacking because I'm not in this camp. This is who I am, and I'm allowed to be any kind of person that I want to be. I just have to, like, just feed that into the kids until every one of them comes out, like, confident and strong and okay in themselves.
And they won't, because they're always going to be people, not nice humans who don't like other people.
But all of it comes from fear that you aren't the right sort of person.
Of course it does.
Do you not think that being told to be what you want to be is in conflict with combating toxicity? Because it's not so much that you should be who you want to, you're allowed to be what you want to be, but that you have responsibility to others, isn't it?
I think if you don't hurt anybody in being whoever you want to be, then do whatever. Yeah, I guess if who you want to be is a state of mind, because
for some people,
people
that is
in their basement, then I guess don't be who you want to be.
Yeah,
I guess is finding that it's, and that's so tough, isn't it? It's like, why do we say, you know, the boys who want to do ballet, you go live your truth, but the boys who want to punch animals, we're like, you may not live your truth. Like, you know,
that's
where do we
hold? That's
a whole nother camp. And if that's what's inside you, and that's the thing that you want to do, like, who are we to say like, this one is all right and this one can thrive and be okay and this one we stop?
But crucially, we as girls as well, it's exhausting, and I am angry quite a lot sometimes, but I think we need to try and control it as much as possible, and show that compassion and show that, like, basically not go around and say all men are trash.
Yeah, it's on us totally.
It's a symbol.
It's and it takes a lot of work, and you're like, oh, I'm exhausted, I don't want to be the teacher anymore. But like, you got to be. Like, we've got to be banging at this glass ceiling until the generation behind us get to crack it. Like, and if we don't be the ones who smash it, like, that's okay. So we broke it enough for it to break for someone behind us. And you have to, like, take on that's what your role is.
Yeah.
And just keep letting that space and be like, hey, let's talk about that thing you said. And
yeah,
can
try
we,
and talk about
rather than shouting,
possible.
Fuck you, Wang. Like,
yeah, I can do that too if it helps, I don't mind.
It won't help, because you just want to shout, fuck you back.
I'm pretty passive, I don't know. I'm pretty,
well, at least
we
figured out how to, like, talk to Phil Wang. Like, I think, yeah, I mean, we've essentially just, we haven't solved anything, but you could never solve this, because if you could, then it wouldn't exist.
I think there's also, we should also accept the gradual nature of this
course.
Improvement.
Yes. Like, 'cause I was hoping it would be sorted by the end of this podcast.
And impatience just makes it worse. Like, of course things are not ideal now, but they're so much better than they used to be.
And
it will get
better.
Mm-hmm. The moral arm of the universe tends
towards. Doing huge, massive jumps in learning in their brains that, you know, we're realizing things that we didn't know were bad are bad. Mm-hmm. And it takes a lot.
And I think that's part of the frustration the Brett Kavanaughs of the world are having, in that genuinely, those decades ago, the moral standards were different.
Yeah.
So why am I, so they think, it is unfair for me to be judged by today's standards for something I did when the standards are different.
Which I would now not do, because now I know. But then you're like, would you not? Like, it's impossible to tell.
It is impossible
whether
to tell.
Whether he has fully grown and is like, it's okay. Like, I actually would never do that now and I understand it. Or whether he's just, like, saying that. Like, it's just impossible. But we can't, just like we can't always, you know, I would never dream of being like, presuming a woman is lying about an accusation. We also can't presume the other way as well. You can't presume that the man did it as well. immediately jump to the other side. I sound like Trump now.
But that's the thing, isn't it? It's like, we want, when David Cameron, when they said he put his dick in a pig, everyone's like, I don't need any evidence.
I'm on board.
I don't need another word. I know that to be true. Whereas we want to believe baddies did things, and we don't want to dream that Cristiano Ronaldo did anything bad because people got pictures of it on his wall. Like, we don't want Woody Allen and Louis C.K. and all the, like, the heroes. We can't bear for them to go down because we like them. Whereas when we're like, David Cameron, yes, please, give us more dirt on this guy. We'll have it. And we don't need to be told that. If someone told us that isn't true about the pig, everyone's like, don't believe you.
I think it's true.
The most compelling rule of thumb I read was, in response to the whole hashtag I believe her thing.
Yeah.
It's not, the correct response to accusations of sexual assault is not just to believe the victim, but to take the cases seriously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what hasn't been happening, is that the cases were not taken seriously.
Yeah.
It's not that the victims were should have been believed outright every single time, but the cases are simply not taken seriously.
Mm-hmm.
So as long as you take the cases seriously, as you say, and actually look into the intricacies mm-hmm. of whatever happened, will hopefully come to the right decision.
Yeah, and I think it's that, and it's quite right. It's like, it doesn't help. I mean, while obviously Dr. Ford, I'm sure, was like real buoyed up by this like outpouring of support.
She's having a horrible time, I think.
I know, I don't doubt that for a second. She's having a nightmare, but I imagine it was like, I'm sure that helped her, and it helped people feel united around her. Exactly that, that it isn't help, just like keep the sides at war. Let's have this like impartisan middle ground that's like, thank you, everyone. Let's have a proper investigation into this.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's coming from both sides.
Yeah.
People hate, like, people are too far going, like, immediately not believing it.
Mm.
And then there are people who are immediately believing it. And it's just like everything.
Neither,
can't
both of those.
But to her credit, that is her attitude and not his. She's the one who wants an FBI investigation.
Yeah.
And he's the one who doesn't. So I think in that case...
Yeah. We've used that as an example, but I think
yeah, I know.
It's all oh, yeah.
I think it's about, like, the people that are around it, that, like, most of us will not be involved in an FBI investigation in our lives. We'll only
touch
be,
wood.
Like, touch wood, everyone. We'll only be following it from a distance. And rowing
MI5.
Fingers crossed. We'll only be rowing about it in the pub with limited information and having this like furious row and picking sides. And I think that's the space where everyone needs to like stop joining in. Like, let's calm down.
Well, take it on case by case rather than be like, this says this about men. This means that men do this.
Yeah.
And of course, lots of men do
that.
It means
that one man did this in this one instance. And
just
let's
keep taking it, and rather than making these huge sweeping generalizations that men are trash. And I just really hope that we don't come across like Trump in this, but I don't think I have.
I don't think so.
Good, thank you.
I've not thought that.
You don't thought
except for when you've said I'm like Trump now. That's
right.
The only time.
Until you've raised it, no one was even thinking it.
I mean,
right.
the red cap isn't helping.
Yeah, the make and the fact that I'm a Trump supporter doesn't help.
Yeah.
The Make America Great Again cap, not great. But if you like, I mean, I'd love to hear about any thoughts you have on it. Email us nobodypanicpodcast@gmail.com and tweet us @nobodypanicpod. Or me, if you want to just really like direct abuse specifically at me, @StevieM, the S is a 5.
@TessaCoates.
@Gokwan.
No! What is it?
Twitter is @PhilNWang. N for November, PhilNWang.
Is your middle name November?
That's a lovely name. Nathaniel, I'm afraid.
Nathaniel,
ooh,
okay.
That's very powerful.
Phil November.
Yeah, join in the debate in a calm way. Come on in, and I think, keep calling people out, keep offering space for redemption and learning and improvement, and admit that, you know, not everyone has to be perfect first time around, but if people are trying, then, well, you know, well
trying
done.
Trying is important, and we have to, like, there are people, there's a lot of toxic masculinity out there, and I think we just have to, like, I literally don't know how to stop it, and I don't think we can, but talking about it helps, and being aware that it's happening rather than being like, that guy's a prick, be like, that guy's a prick for a reason, and it's sad rather than like, I hate him.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Everyone's just, you know.
And don't send your son to an all-boys boarding school.
Or if he does, equip him with all the skills he needs before he gets
weaponry.
It. Loads of weaponry.
The bionic arm.
Ready to get into the Hunger Games. That's otherwise they can't get in.
That's the bottom.
Have an amazing International Men's Day. And if you are on Instagram or a
tweeter, nice to a man.
Be nice
today.
To a man and post about a man that you love or your dad or a brother or a husband or a boyfriend or somebody in your life and say good things about them. Let's
compliment a man day.
Compliment a man day.
And a smile wouldn't hurt once in a while.
And on that note, goodbye!
Imagine the sun. softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one is coming. This one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.